Welcome to episode 6 of the video marketing trend series that we've been doing. In this episode, we're breaking down the prosumer shift that's taking video marketing by storm.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey-o. All right. You know, I'm a classic prosumer. And like many thought leaders, you know, I travel all over the world sharing my insights with business leaders. And for years, I've been struggling to find the right balance between taking my super high-end camera gear that weighs a ton or just kind of pushing the boundaries on a much larger kit that I bring with me that might be more consumer video products. But then the market started to react to demand like it always does. And now we're entering a new era and a real new trend that's starting to blossom where prosumer video equipment is becoming much more common. And in this episode, we're going to break down the new prosumer video production trends that are taking the video marketing world by storm. And of course, we're going to discuss how to best leverage them for your sales and marketing success. And this fits in perfectly with the big trends of relevance that are playing out because, you know, for years, people have been using the equipment's been designed for very specific users, for very relevant users. And now we're at this point where there's all these people like me that are somewhere between the gap that hasn't been served. And now the market is providing much more relevant products that we can use to be more effective. And to join me inside of the studio, well, I'm joined right now by our two biggest video nerds, the guys that are on virtually every one of our client shoots, Wirebuzz head of video production, Dale Krupla. What is up?
Heyo.
And Devin Dresbach. Devin's on every one of these shoots. He touches every one of the pieces of equipment. His job this week was to reorganize our video gear. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
Dude, you guys, like, do we ever just stop to think about how much frigging content that this mighty team, and sometimes we break up into multiple teams, right? Like we might run three crews at a time going in different places. You guys might split up. I bet it's a little emotionally sad when you don't get to travel together.
I get sad.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. But we created 2,700 client videos last year, which is remarkable. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And we now have, we've gone through a big variety of gear, like, you know, products come and go, right? I mean, things get a little old or some new bell and whistle comes out and we want it. That gear that's in the top secret case of ours, like right now, just so people know, we're rocking some, we still have our standard Canon 5D Mark III, which we use for behind the scenes still videos, and the lenses are just awesome. But let's talk about some of the other gear that we've got in there. I know we got an Ursa. Mm-hmm. I know we've got the biggest name in video ever for a camera. Blackmagic Pocket Cinema 4K camera. Am I
so
close?
Let me try.
Blackmagic Cinema 4K Pocket. Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera 4K. Boom!
Boom!
What in the world?
Now that's an acronym for you right there.
All right. So that is like one of these groundbreaking new pieces of, it's a pro camera, but it's really on that edge for guys that are rolling with lighter gear.
Absolutely. It is the kind of pent ultimate machine or camera that has been the culmination of something that started all the way back with the release of the Canon 5D Mark II, I would say, in 2008.
Yeah.
And that was when I first started noticing that the form or the size of cameras that guys were using on professional shoots was smaller. And then the Mark II gave birth to the Mark III because you had these journalists which wanted video capabilities in their point-and-shoot cameras.
I was there for that birth.
2012?
It was Mark beautiful. III. Yeah.
It was a good-looking baby, wasn't it? All right, so
it still is.
It still All is. Right, so we still like it.
We're going to talk about that camera and some others coming up, but let's talk about this prosumer shift. And, you know, video apps are becoming more robust and accessible. Smartphones with camera technology that rivals the traditional camera, allowing everyone to create really high quality videos without needing expensive software or equipment. Like, that is a sea change in our world.
Absolutely. I mean, what you have is the form or size going down and the abilities and the functions, I mean, including phones, and the abilities and functions increasing. And, you know, the buzzword seems to be 4K, 4K this, 4K that. What does that mean? On phones, we have phones shooting in 4K. And on cameras, we have larger sensors, which is capturing more information. And the price is continually going down. So the accessibility of this quality and the divide between what is a hobbyist and what is a professional is continuing to shrink.
So this is exactly, in case you've been struggling throughout your life, this is exactly how you find out if there is a God or not, right?
Like, go on.
Like, I have, you know, you guys know that I was a one-man, go on. I was a one-man band for maybe 7 to 8 years before I hired anybody else to come in and go on shoots with me. And I have two totally jacked shoulders from dragging very expensive equipment all over the friggin' world, right? So for me, when I hear that sizes are getting smaller and the quality's getting better and the prices are going down, I'm like, there is a God.
That's right.
Right? My prayers have been answered. But as videographers and cinematographers, because I think you guys just are really exceptional.
Thank you.
You can tell better, more compelling stories now with lighter gear than ever before.
Yeah, it's more of a production footprint issue. You know, we're able to go into a lab or a hospital or someone's home, and just the footprint of what we're traveling with, we don't need dolly track. We don't need someone pushing the dolly. We don't need someone minding the camera and sitting on the dolly as it's being pushed. We're literally holding a Ronin, which is that's a Steadicam for you folks out there who aren't camera savvy, in two hands with one of our new Black Magics on top, and we're capturing 60 frames per second, which is slowed down, beautiful 4K cinematic images that are on the level of independent and filmmakers. So that's what we have in our two hands, whereas it took three people before to kind of do that.
It's so cool.
It's very cool. We roll with three, if we had to, with none of our light stands or our huge Pelican cases, which are traveling cases that have our grip equipment and our lights in it. We could roll out the door with three backpacks. One of them has wheels on it, and one could go on my back, one could go on Devin's back, and we could technically shoot a natural light explainer film if we had to, and it would be of professional quality.
Devin, when you see the camera gear transitioning and you see the big trend like Dale just explained, how does that impact the work you can do on set? How does that trend make you a better storyteller?
Well, it both helps us and hurts us in a few different ways. I like the way that everything is trending. It makes it easier to get into smaller spaces, like Dale was saying. It allows us to do shots that took more people in past years. But there are also some downsides that people overlook a lot of times. And that is designs of these cameras.
Right. Because it's very cumbersome. Like, you've got to get into the user interface that before used to have knobs on top and buttons. And now you've got to kind of drill into a application and find your way through. And often something that used to have an elegant button on the front end, like white balance back in the day, is now six pages in and two options into the sixth page.
Even the design of the actual cameras has changed based on the DSLR revolution, because now the cameras that are coming out, the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera 4K.
Boom, look at you show off.
Yeah, I have a lot of practice. that is based on a DSLR like shape, the shape of a DSLR, which was never meant to be a film camera. So back in the day when you had these video cameras, They were larger, they were heavier, but they were designed to sit on your shoulder. Now you have to buy your own rig, so you have to balance them yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's cool because you can customize them, but people forget that older cameras were meant for a lot of shooting mm-hmm. in, you know, like being able odd to travel scenarios. Fast too. Yeah. So there are both sides to it.
You also, I noticed, and I'm sorry to cut in here, but I noticed that if we had pain before from having a camera that was heavy up on our shoulder, we now have a lighter camera that we've got inside of a Ronin that's helping us, you know, it's a three-axis gimbal. It's going to start steady cam that thing and not let, you know, decrease the shake. But now instead of having the pain on your shoulder, it's now directly in between your shoulder blades. Like it's a redistribution of a problem to a new location.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess it's a preference thing. I'm a huge fan of everything that's happened. Smaller, the better, in my opinion. But I don't want it to be overlooked that there are a lot of products out there that I think are rushed to market. And
oh, of course.
They are not as well designed as some of the older, more reliable, traditional companies.
If you'd like, I'm happy to send you out with our beta cam on the next one. Okay.
Let's throw it back.
I'll see what you say if you come back. Gotcha.
No, I was shooting on a Panasonic 100 DVX, if anyone remembers that. You know, not the biggest camera, but definitely nowhere near mm-hmm. the size of the, as small as the cameras are these days. Shooting on DV tapes, 60-minute DV
right.
tapes.
Crazy, right?
Having to capture that, live capture on the computer just to get that footage mm-hmm. into your computer. It was a different time.
We had just recently, and you guys might have been part of this. I apologize if I don't remember who was the person, but I know you guys came through in the studio here and cleared out some of these cabinets. And in one of the cabinets was a shoebox full of mini DV tapes mm-hmm. from back in the day when we just never threw them out, but I was kind of like emotionally attached to them or something.
Oh, I don't think we threw them out. And they just look too cool. We need to keep them around.
Do you think we still have them?
Of course we do. I could open this cabinet
please
right here.
Please do it. I want to see.
I hope it's still here. Drum roll, please.
But this is also the path and the, you know, in the prosumer trend is finding that next evolution. Dale just gave me the look.
And he's like, no, what did we do with them now? Now
they're gone.
So those are ancient relics.
I know.
We thought they were paperweights.
We took them to the Scottsdale Video Museum, a.k.a. the front closet.
Right? That's so funny. All right, so you guys know that, like, that I used to travel with, like, when I went to Europe a year ago to do that speaking tour, I brought the 5D Mark III with me. Mm-hmm. And that was my first realization as soon as I started traveling with it, that I needed more of a prosumer camera for that trip because it didn't have the monitor on the back doesn't open and flip forward and then swivel. So if I'm on camera, I can see myself. So what I really ended up doing, it's a great camera, no fault to it. But now I brought a camera and I'm going to film my own stuff. And I'm using something that I got back to like 2012 mm-hmm. where I couldn't adjust myself on screen, mm-hmm. right? And now we're at this point where I've got this new prosumer whiz camera, the Pocket Osmo.
That's right.
The DJI Pocket Osmo, which you guys saw me film with it today, is the coolest little camera. It fits inside of basically an eyeglass case. Inside of my bag, if we go to happy hour, it goes in my pocket. When we did that Wirebuzz party bus thing, not to ever be mentioned, but I brought that thing with me. We passed it around as we were all singing in the bus. Video nobody will ever see.
Ever see.
Exactly. But that's bringing a very high quality camera that used to only belong to production companies like ours into the hands of everyday people.
And not just that, you're bringing the specs inside that camera to everyday people. I mean, that thing shoots in 4K 60 frames per second at 100 megabytes per second. That is some impressive information. And it can run for 140 minutes on that battery life. I know you talked about that in a podcast in a thought leadership video.
I took it to Vail skiing.
Yeah.
And I know I showed some of you guys the video of it. I skied all day on the hill, and of course, I didn't film the whole time, mm-hmm. just when the spirit moved me and I wanted to show off where I was, right? And so when I got off the hill, I still had 86% battery life.
Yeah, that's amazing.
fabulous.
Yeah, it's right? really great. And that's, so we've seen this from the Mark III to where we are now, but what we're also starting to see is a trend in a splintering. Now that we've kind of hit the pinnacle of prosumer, we're seeing our cinema cameras, the new Blackmagic one, the new Blackmagic 4.6K that just came out with a new one. That thing, that's a beast. What does that shoot in, Devin? I think it's 120 frames per second, 4.6K, the new Blackmagic. Is that right?
Oh, the new one?
The new one.
The new one shoots 300 frames per second.
300 frames per second and 1080.
At 1080, yeah, yeah.
So these cinema it's cameras crazy. Are having to up their game to add value to themselves and separate themselves from these smaller kind of cameras that are not left over, but are a product of the DSLR revolution. Yeah. So, but you're also seeing a decrease in those price points as companies like Blackmagic have had to get smarter about what they're putting inside of their cameras, even on their cinema cameras. Mm-hmm. So the research and the things that they've done to make the sensors better inside their smaller cameras is affecting the price point and the performance of the larger cameras as well. So you're seeing this not just trickle down, but kind of trickle up in a weird way. Mm-hmm. So this trend, that it truly was a revolution, like if you think about it, and it changed every camera that Devin and I touch every time we go out and do production. So, but the trend is definitely smaller, better, higher quality in the prosumer cameras. I mean,
longer battery life, or the ability to connect to different devices or power sources.
That's right.
Right. I mean, that's really cool.
That is. And if I may be so bold, how it fits, I feel, in marketing is now you can send a gorgeous 4K video message that you've just shot on your DJI Pocket to a client instead of having to shoot something on your phone that is potentially low res.
Right.
So you're raising the game in client communication while using these cameras that are a result of something that happened in 2008. It's pretty incredible.
But then I also have to, now that I've got a DJI Pocket Osmo, I basically have a gimbal at my disposal. Mm-hmm. I have to retire my very steady right arm for selfie mode, right? Because I got nothing dialed in. Like, I could do walk and talks and would know I didn't have Dale following me. And
that's right, yeah. What Todd was trying to identify is like the T-Rex arms. It's when you hold a DSLR and you suck them into your ribs as close as you can, and then you just got to move your knees back mm-hmm. and forth. That's your steady cam right there.
That is, right? That's old school steady
cam. That's old school steady cam, that's right.
All right, so one of the big trends that we're seeing is expectations are going way up as these prosumer devices start becoming more and more available. Like an example could be what I just explained with holding my selfie camera on my phone and doing a video. The expectations are that you're going to be delivering somebody a higher quality because now that quality is accessible.
Yeah, definitely the perception is that everyone has access to higher quality. So if you're sending something that is not in higher quality, it kind of makes you look a little bad. Mm-hmm. Not going to lie about that. So
just because people could possibly afford to get a Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera 4K or an Ursa Mini doesn't mean they necessarily should. Because yes, the quality is better. It has better bit rates, better modes, better settings, better color, lateral, stops and everything. But if you're shooting something along the lines of what Todd does, you would almost want the Osmo because those cameras don't have stabilization. They're a lot heavier. They don't have a screen that flips around just like you were talking about. So they also don't come with a fixed lens, obviously. So if you are trying to shoot yourself vlog style or start your YouTube channel traveling around, you might not necessarily need such a bulky workhorse of a camera. And, like the Osmo does well enough. It does even better for what you're trying to get into. And people get so obsessed with getting the latest and greatest and most expensive technology. You know, the big thing when Red came out was like there was a joke that it was like every time there's a Craigslist ad for a film student doing his film, he's like, need Red. I need a Red. I don't care about anything. It just needs to be shot on Red. And people forget that these things are tools and it's about how you use them mm-hmm. and not so much having like a cool Instagram photo of you in a red, a red camera body with like some really shitty lens on it mm-hmm. that, is That's doing you
the,
nothing.
That is the video equipment equivalent of a guy on his dating profile to have a hot girl around his arm.
Yes.
Right? He's like, oh, look, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
He's desirable.
He's trying to flex, but you give somebody that doesn't have the right eye or no talent right. the most expensive camera, and I'll outshoot that dude every day with a Mark III.
Yep.
Like, let's go. And I mean, that's I don't know, perhaps that's another trend that's come out of, is there's no excuses for creating bad art or bad video anymore. The tools are there at your disposal. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've got the idea and you've got the inclination, you now have the tool to create the thing. And it's also another trend that's in that is we're seeing, like, I think the rise of vloggers and people using the correct tools, like Devin was saying, or the correct cameras, like you're saying the flip screen. I would say that that was affected directly. Panasonic saw a want in the market for people that needed to focus their camera on themselves. So they put flip screens on the GH4 and the GH5.
Right.
So
that was a Rebel thing first.
Was it a Rebel thing first?
Yeah.
Look T3i. At dropping knowledge on me.
That was a T3i thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes.
Which is still, of its time, a very good camera.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, was that really a T3i?
That was a T3i thing.
Oh,
that was
like a Canon.
By the way, in my office at my house, you shall know that there is a very, very well dust covered T3i that is just hanging out there. And I've the last time I brought it out somewhere is we were at a conference and I walked around and I took stills with it because we probably were running three crews at one time. And the only camera left was this dusty T3i, but still creates really, really great still images. Happy to see it. Guys, each of you do about 40, 45 flights a year. Southwest is your jam.
That's right. I love it.
Isle or window. Isle or window. Oh. What's your story?
I am a recently converted aisle man.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I used to be a window man and now I've changed.
It's the bladder.
Can I go neither?
Oh, really? Your center?
Emergency row.
Emergency
row is the hidden secret.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know that because I've got long legs, so I have to declare and get that. They just,
I'm
too?
Like 60% legs.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. So it's funny. Well, guys, I thank you so much. You go out on location, you create really great stories. I mean, in this big trend piece that we're doing, which is like six episodes, the stories and telling those stories and being able to do it in a compelling way is important. But one of the trends that Wirebuzz acknowledged a long time ago is that testimonial videos can't be somebody pushed up against a wall like they have been for the last 10 or 12 years in the video space, where somebody's like, looks like they've been put up against a wall. They really are reluctant to do it. It looks like it could be a mugshot at a police station, the way that they're kind of awkwardly put up there. And now these videos that you guys are creating are stories and they're compelling and they're award-winning. And the thing that I like the most about it is quickly, in the opening seconds, you're identifying with that person, that customer that's telling their story, and you go along their journey and the music kicks in and then you start to see them do something in their life and the B-roll starts happening. Like a big trend that we haven't discussed is how much more complex the storytelling process has to be visually in order to retain that viewer to the end, right? And when you guys are going out on location and you're going to shoot, like I want to think about something like Guillermo's video, which, you know, we did for a client and he rode motorcycles. Or there was Mark who had a condition and Mark rode bikes. He was a bike rider and a drone flyer. Like when you guys are going out on location, you start to hear their stories that the strategy team pulled together and they gave the what is the goal of the video. And that strategy gets handed off to the script writers and the script writers start to tell that story. And then you guys come in and you start creatively making that story come to life. That is a trend that most videographers are just starting to come up to. So when you're going out on a shoot and you're pulling together this visually, kind of talk me through what that process is like and how you think of how you bring that person's story to life.
For sure. What you're also kind of identifying is the trend of cinematic storytelling, not infiltrating, that's the wrong word, forgive me, but kind of being adapted into this type of video, if you will. And what Wirebuzz, a trend that I think that we are leading is we are changing the expectation of the videos that exist in that space. People are starting to expect cinematic videos with quality B-roll, stories that are reinforced by following this person's journey. That was just my hot take on that. But if you want me to get into it, it's the tech stuff. Do you want me to get into like shallow depth of field and how we're interviewing the people?
I'm a fan as a marketer of getting people to the end of the message.
Mm-hmm.
And candidly, it doesn't matter to me if it happens in text mm-hmm. or it happens in video. How do I get people to the end of the story that the client needs to deliver, right? And then I've noticed that as we start to track, as we're starting to see a change in consumer, the expectations of a better, deeper story plays in, because we're all, maybe not Devin, children of the television generation.
What?
I'm just kidding.
John, do you think I am?
I'm just kidding. So we're all children. I just take a jab. If I can take a jab, you know, I take a jab. We're all just children of the television generation. And the thing that I like best is how businesses are recognizing that they have to tell television or movie style stories in order to deliver their full message.
Yeah, I think what you're identifying is you're identifying good-looking shots, showing everyday stories visually in a way that is interesting.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a business. If you're a business, you actually have to compete that much harder to get a more compelling story, to tell it in greater depth. And a lot of times businesses have looked at themselves as saying, oh, we'll just film it with an iPhone and that guy will just explain how. And if they went and looked at their analytics, they would realize that that's not even worth anything.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to watch it.
And it goes back to the expectation that we're talking about earlier. The expectation is that you're going to have a really great looking video. And the better that you let Wirebuzz make you look, or the if it's us or another video provider, the better that that person looks on screen, the more people are going to connect to that message, because the two are intrinsically linked. Like the quality of the storytelling, and like you said, the music, the imagery, that's really going to bring people to the end of the customer journey and make them stay engaged in that video.
Yeah. Can I add something to that?
Yeah, jump on in.
How many videos have you seen that are cookie cutter, B-roll, over voiceover,
right.
You know, talking head, and it's not effective. I mean, anyone can do it these days. You can have beautiful cameras and it'll look nice, but at the end of the day, video is a visual medium. And so if you're only telling a story in a way that could just as easily be told over text or over a podcast, then you're failing at what video is mm-hmm. at the core. And that's motivated visual storytelling.
And when I'm, as a speaker, when I'm on stage, I also know that I have to bridge that gap. I can't put up slides and expect me to pull my audience through. So my slides are typically what we would consider like B-roll video of some analogy that is hyper relevant to what I'm teaching. So an example is, a week ago or so, I was in Florida after the Miami Breast Cancer Conference, and I went a couple hours north to go see my in-laws that were vacationing or getting, they were snowbirding, right? They were getting out of Michigan, getting some vitamin D in their skin. And my father-in-law and I went fishing, right? Super awesome. But I brought the pocket Osmo with me. And so as he was fishing, I was watching him and I'm thinking of a marketer throwing out a hook into the water and then kind of reeling it in and throwing it back out again. So I like put down my fishing line because I'm not catching anything. Let's be honest. I'm a city kid. So, but I'm bonding with my father-in-law. We're fishing out there, and I've watched the, you know, a fishing network channel before, you know, it inspires me to eat fish and chips. And so I'm watching him fish and I put down my fishing rod and I grabbed my pocket Osmo. I plugged it into my phone and I got to show you this video, guys. He's silhouetted mm-hmm. with the ocean and his rod and his reel going, and he's got like this cool rhythm, and I slowed it down 60 frames per second. It was just, thing just looked beautiful. And the next thing I know, I'm stuck there for like 2 minutes grabbing myself this B-roll that I'm going to use in my speech, because I know that I can create the right mood. I can command their attention. And we all have to, in this new trend, use the technology that's available. And in this case, it's a prosumer, and up our game to be better storytellers, right? Few people do it better than you guys. So thank you very much for always going out and representing us.
Absolutely. Thank you for giving us the tools to go out and tell these stories, Mr. Hartley.
Hey, we're just getting started.
We are just getting started.
We're just seeing the new toys.
The new toys are good, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, before we wrap up here, What you guys?
I was trying to sneak it in with a selfie.
I'm like trying to throw down my question, and it's not an easy question. But our audience is dying to know.
Sure.
Wait, let's all take another selfie. Hold on.
Bust that out, Devin. Right, selfie number two.
Hysterical. All right. So, how do you like? What techniques are you guys using to tell a more compelling, more cinematic, more engaging story? Give us some of that flavor.
You got it. I mean, how long do you have is the answer to that. But if you want kind of the Cliff's Notes on what you should do to, in my opinion, to keep people's attention, just the basic cinematic principles that we utilize when we're out on set is you want motion in your shots. Whenever we're shooting B-roll, I like a nice wide shot that moves, that represents either the character or the brand that we are trying to show the person that's watching the video. And then I kind of work my way in. Another technique within that working your way in is a nice shallow depth of field and detail shots to really fill out the person's mind of what they're viewing. That goes to the next thing and the next kind of tool in the toolkit of that, which is variety. Within the variety of shots, we're going to kind of get into the edit here a little bit, but the pace of how you move from that wide shot to that smaller shot. Like I just watched a Carlsbad Beer video today, and it was very fast paced when they were doing lab footage. If we're trying to portray emotion or project emotion, the pace of the video is going to move smaller, almost with the music. And that actually goes into the third point, which I think is emotional baggage. I'm going to let Devin talk about that, like as far as
speaking
a tool.
Speaking
of emotional baggage, did you guys get that in there?
Tough crowd.
Did you like that? Tough crowd. Tough crowd.
And one other thing, a big thing in, you know, successful video production is just like Dale was saying, know who your target audience is, know who your client is, who you're representing. Emotional baggage is a huge part of that. Know what part of the story you're telling, how to tell it best. You're not just going to take the camera, throw it on a bunch of sticks, or throw it on sticks and shoot a person standing in front of a daisy field for no reason. You know, is that relevant to the story? You're not going to do a wide shot in an interview of a person who's talking about something as heavy as cancer. You're going to be close up with them, intimate, looking into their eyes. That's the kind of conscious decisions you need to make to excel into the next level. And that's across all types of video shoots, all types of filmmaking, everything, including video.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I'm seeing myself as a viewer of videos enjoying the floating camera into the room or through the scene. And that to me feels like because of the access to gimbals, the ability to take your DSLR into places you wouldn't have been able to before, a really important human element, because we float into rooms and we move around and see things. And like the more I shoot with a gimbal, the more I recognize that has the natural flow pattern as my head and the way I move in and out of rooms. And Dale knows that I have purchased every prosumer DJI Osmo.
That's right, because I've helped them
pack
it up as we returned it. That's right.
because I get super excited and I open it all up, and then Dale, tell me if I'm exaggerating.
Go on.
I purchase a product, I also purchase every one of their accessories.
Well, you have to.
And then I open them all up in my office. And then when I realize it's not the right product for me and I get super depressed, I need to bring Dale in to laugh with me as we package up these 20 little boxes that somebody somehow got all these things in. So I think it's really cool to go through it as a consumer, to see the products changing, to watch them become smaller, to solve the problem of the one before. Right? And how that affects us as storytellers is a really cool trend. Guys, I love working with you both. I'm honored to have you guys go out and represent us. You actually have my favorite part of the job. And
thank you.
You get to interact with the world's greatest doctors and coach them so they can represent themselves to their, you know, their greatest potential. And then you also get to talk with these patients or customers that are going through really amazing transformations and to tell their intimate and personal stories and share them with the world. And I love it. And I miss that. And I'm just really grateful that you guys do it so much better than I did.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to help people.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, look, on behalf of Dale and Devin and the Wirebuzz crew, this is, hey, Marcus, is this the last episode of this thing?
Oh, what here comes this? Marcus.
I believe that this is the final episode of our video trends piece.
All right, so let me quickly break down the latest trends. Dale, you can get out of here. I know cool. Dale has to do a job interview. He's not going to work somewhere else.
No.
No? He's doing an interview for a job right now. Devin, thanks for joining us in the studio. Marcus, let's just do a recap, if we could. Big topics only. We talked about surviving the Netflix economy.
Yeah, the three big mega trends that are driving everything else that we talked about through all of the following episodes.
It will not be the last time this audience hears about the Netflix economy, right?
We'll be talking about it a lot more.
And we talked about relevance.
Yep.
We think relevance is like one of the magic pieces of the formula.
Yeah, when you think about relevance and the convergence of branding and direct response and the way that advertising has changed, all of those things, all of the video engagement episodes, they all really intersect around this idea of the Netflix economy. It's all really correlating to brands that are the most effective at creating defined, controlled experiences through their sales message, and that do that in the most compelling way possible. In other words, they create binge-worthy buying experiences. Yep. If the brands that do that the best are the most successful. And the way that that is done is by being more relevant, by focusing on managing the sequence of information and what you talk about and aligning it with the customer. Again, circling back to relevance, so that you can hold their attention through a longer segment of time, because attention is expensive. Mm-hmm. There's lots of competition these days. And then when you think about the role of social and how direct response and brand advertising have shifted, and how really there needs to be a clean, tight handoff between the two. Mm-hmm. All of these things are really just at this nexus point of how do we make people engage with our brands? How do we make them want to engage with our sales message?
You know, as I'm hearing you talk, I realize we touched on this, but I think this was an episode trend all unto itself, the convergence of marketing and sales, and how marketing should just be creating the assets that sales needs to close deals faster. And they are often two siloed different teams with competing influences and organizational desires, and companies can't figure out why they're not closing deals quicker. But what we're seeing, and we're really on that front leading edge, is that the power of video is so compelling that if you do it right and you use the right amount of relevance, you tell compelling stories and move people through a customer journey, and you do it in a bingeable way, they will become customers quicker, and your company will start receiving checks so much faster that it'll actually be fun to go to work again.
And like our homie Jordan a couple episodes ago, when you're getting great results and everyone else is falling asleep on a Friday afternoon, Yes. You're going to be hungry knowing that those last few hours that you have available before the weekend are going to be the most profitable hours of the week, because you're out there crushing videos
right. In
order to close deals.
Beautiful. Marcus, thanks for joining me on the Trends episodes. It was a lot of fun breaking this down, giving our listeners a very clear vision about how they use all these trends to their maximum potential. And as new trends develop, don't you worry. We're going to bring them right to you so you can continue to be a rock star in your business so you can close deals at faster rates. On behalf of Marcus Krieg and the Wirebuzz team, we wish you guys all the best. And we look forward to bringing you more information as it becomes available and bringing it right here at Video Marketing Mastery. Peace.
Peace.
Cool.
Bye. Yeah.